It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today for this wonderful study. The book of Joshua is where we're going to be studying today. Joshua chapter 3, we're going to begin reading with verse 7. Joshua chapter 3, verse 7. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. It's a wonderful opportunity we have to come and study today, and I hope that you enjoy the study. If you will read along with me now in Joshua chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 7. The Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Gashuites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is besides Zaratan, and those that came down towards the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. The priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time. It's a precious, wonderful day that we have to come and visit and fellowship with you. Please that you will guide and lead us as we look at this third chapter. We look at the nation of Israel as they begin to cross over into the blessings. God has wanted them over in that area 40 years ago, and yet, Father, we know they chose not to come and not to be a part of this blessing because they didn't believe. Unbelief. And unbelief cuts the blessings from us, too, if we don't trust in you and believe in you. And so please, dear Lord, today that we trust in you first for salvation, and then that's just the beginning. Then we know and trust and believe you every day, every minute of every day. Please, dear Lord, guide and lead us today. Show us your way and will. Those that are lost, I ask that they be saved today. And those that are saved that have chosen another way other than the truth, I ask that they return. And for each of us, that we grow closer to you today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We found that the people of Israel are at the edge of the River Jordan. Their time is to come and cross over into the Promised Land, into Canaan. They are found here that they're going to come first by the edge of Jericho. And so we find those places and those areas are so close to us. As we are beginning to come across, we know that the spies went into the city of Jericho. And so the promise is made 400 years before, and we're about to watch a promise fulfilled. Some of this may have been kind of something that you think, I've heard this before. And it was the parting of the Red Sea, and how that when they went into the Red Sea, they crossed on dry land. But when they crossed the Red Sea, they did not have the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And so we find that we have built this upon the leadership of our Lord. It is the very place, this the Ark of the Covenant between the two cherubims, is where the Lord will come and be present to meet with the people. People meet with God and God meet with the people. And it's that place right there, this piece of furniture here, the most precious, most important piece of furniture in all of the tabernacle. Now, we find that there was a space between, we read in the fourth verse, between this Ark of the Covenant and the people, because the priests were to take it forwards. There was to be a half mile between them, approximately a half mile. I believe it said 2,000 cubits, and we have guesstimated that to be about a half a mile. We're said to sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. We looked at that last week back, and last time we were together back in Exodus chapter 19. And then Joshua spake unto the priests, verse 6, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And here's where we're going to begin today. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. You see, they could see, and they had so much evidence of God's power with Moses, that God continues to make that comparison. So they understand that just because Moses has died and Moses is no longer with them, it wasn't Moses' power that gave this deliverance. It was the power of God that God gave to Moses to bring these people to this point. And that very same power has been given to Joshua to finish the work, to finish the job. And so we have this beautiful statement in verse 7, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. And so what a wonderful promise, the connection between Moses and Joshua and the Lord's power to both of them. And verse 8, and thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. So back in verse 6, they were commanded to take the ark up and begin the march towards the Jordan River. And when you get to the brink of the water of the Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, verse 9, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashuites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. We will drive them from you. The Lord will do it. The living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you these people. What a promise. Now, when the two spies went into Jericho, and they came back and they witnessed the fear of the people because of this mighty nation that was sitting on the other side of the Jordan. And it wasn't the mighty nation that scared them as much as the God of that mighty nation. Oh, what a great and wonderful day. The day that God got his proper honor and proper respect. It wasn't that, look at so many people here, what are we going to do? It's the God of those people is who has delivered the enemies and to this nation, and without question. And so please that you see that, and you see a promise given here. Without fail, I will drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Gergashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. So, bear it up. This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. A promise that, that the Lord was given unto Joshua here. And now we begin. Verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. It begins. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth. What a beautiful title we have there. Don't miss that. The Lord of all the earth. Not just a little bit of it, not just the nation of Israel, but the Lord of all the earth. He is the creator. He's the one that spoke it all into existence. It says in then down to verse 12, Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, once again, what a tremendous title, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. We read in a later verse here, the 15th verse, how that it is a time of flood waters. Always during this time of the year, the Jordan River is literally out of its banks. It's a rushing, roaring river. And God tells Joshua, Joshua tells the priests, he also tells the people, they're listening, that the priests that bear the ark will come, and they will, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth. Again, the Lord commands everything and every part of it. Don't think he can't do this. He done it once in the Red Sea, crossing the sea, and you're going to find that he can do it again. He can do anything. He can stop this earth from rotating and not allow anybody to fling off of it. He can do anything he wants to do because he is the designer and the creator of this world that we live in. And so as he comes now and he says, when the soles of these feet that bear the ark, when they come to the edge of the water, that the waters will be cut off and they will be rolled back. It's just a big old heap. It'll just pile it up. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, exactly the way God told them to do it, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all its banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up an heap far, very far from the city Adam, that is beside Jerriton, and those that came down towards the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed, were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. What a wonderful, wonderful story. We see that this water, and no one for sure knows where the city of Adam or Zaratan is located. Some maps you'll find it on there. Most of them either have a question mark or something like that. But it hits a long ways upriver where they've suggested this town is located, a long way above Jericho, and we know they crossed over right next to Jericho. We do know that. And so this water is backed up, and we find that the priests that bear the ark of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. We got a beautiful picture here. We find that the ark of the covenant, the priests bearing it, come. And here is this roaring water, and they touch the tips of their feet in the edge of that river, and immediately this river, it just rolls all that rushing water. And living next to the Mississippi River, while we know what a mean, powerful result water can bring, we have watched it for several years, and it just you can hear the roar of that water. It is an awesome sound, and so we need to understand its power and its strength. Well, this Jordan River, they couldn't get to the other side. God had the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant, and remember this distance between. People stood back, and they watched, them there as their toes touched the soles of their feet touched that water. The water was rolled back, and all those that was using the water for their transportation was halted. It just stopped. That just a big heap of water that was backed up. And then the water, can you imagine, as the water receded then down into the salt sea, down to the Dead Sea, and all of a sudden here was not only just a mud hole as they crossed through, it's dry ground. You see, God has designed all this. God knows all this. And so they crossed on dry land, and we find that the waters that came down from above stood and rose up to a heap very far from the city of Adam, and then those that were coming were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho in the end of verse 16. The priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst, of the Jordan. I want you to see that I'm not adding anything to the Word of God, trying to make this story really neat, because it is a neat story without me trying to add anything to it. What a miraculous story. And on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all of the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now, I want you to see this. The moment that the priest's feet rested in the Jordan, the ground was dry, the waters were dried up. As soon as they touched it, it moved back. They come and they rested in the middle of this Jordan. It was a time of flooding. Didn't matter. All was rolled back all the way to Adam. Now, I want to stop a second here, and I want to go and I want to read, because I want you to be reminded of what this ark stands for. We talked about the last couple of times we were together. The Ark of the Covenant is a place God always has to go before us. God always has to do the work. We can't. We can't remove one sin from our lives. We can't do anything. God has to do everything. The world continues to spin because God has set it into place and allows it to. God sends the rain. God sends the sunshine. Everything, that seed that's planted, I don't care how much research is done, if God chooses for that seed not to grow, it will not grow. God gives it life that it can grow in and bring 100-fold. It's God's doing. So you see, the ark, God's presence, God had to go first because they were coming in to the land of blessing. This isn't talking about salvation. This is talking into coming into the blessings. God has to get us there. We crossed through the Red Sea. We crossed the Red Sea. That pictured salvation. Now we're crossing into the Jordan. We have been the picture of salvation for 40 years, but we have refused because we don't believe. Now, yes, you can believe for salvation, but that's the end of your trust, and you don't trust Him for your life. You trust Him to take your sins away, but you don't trust Him to guide and to lead you. And you know, as well as I know, multitudes of people that live their life in the wilderness because they may attend church, they may serve a little bit, but it's nothing serious. They do not take the Word of God serious when it says to serve and to praise and to honor our God. What a joy! What an opportunity to show love back to our God for what He has done for us. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. We've got, keep the picture in mind, you've got the Ark of the Covenant in the middle of the Jordan River, staying there, the waters backed up, dry ground, and Israel is passing through, and it says, until all the people were passed clean over Jordan, it stayed there. Now let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. We'll begin reading with the 23rd verse. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath raised, has set forth to be a propitiation for propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Oh, we have some wonderful words. Redemption, the ransom has been paid. The propitiation, atonement, to pay the penalty. It comes with the mercy seat. What wonderful words that we have here. And so, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, through faith in His blood, can expiate. I'm sorry, I have so much trouble with words. To pay the penalty is what is taken care of here, and so that redemption has been paid. What a wonderful work that we have here. And this the sacrifice, the mercy seat, the sprinkling of the atoning blood, the Day of Atonement, all those things are covered here. And we have to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. You know, we've talked about salvation comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, When Jesus died on the cross, we need to understand that there were many sins that had been committed before that, but it couldn't really be completely taken care of until Jesus went to the cross. And when this Ark of the Covenant is standing there, and they were awaiting going into the land of blessing, we need to see that the sins that have been committed in the past are finally taken care of here at the cross of Calvary when Jesus died on the cross. Yes, when God says a word, it's as good as done, but the finished work was finally finished upon Calvary. And so we find that this picture here as the ark remains in the bed of the Jordan until all the people were passed clean over, not only shows us a picture of the promises and the blessing that was to come, but it shows us our salvation as well. Because so in Christ, in His death, He made a perfect atonement or propitiation for all men everywhere, that all men may be saved if they will, their own will. God saw all who would ever believe passing through to the blessings when His blessed Son died in our stead. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, when that took place, it was set for us to have all the blessings, everything. Salvation. What a wonderful blessing. A life of blessings. And that's what they were about to enter into here. That Ark of the Covenant, God stood before protecting, securing every Israelite till they all passed clean over the Jordan. God will hold on to His promises. He says you'll come by faith to Jesus Christ. He will save you and He will keep you. He will hold that promise. And through that keeping, we have all the blessings that are given us. And it all comes through that precious death when Jesus died on Calvary. Something to not miss here. There was nothing that Israel did to deserve this deliverance, to come into this promised land. They did nothing to deserve that. We do nothing to deserve salvation. We do nothing to deserve God's blessings after salvation. God promises, and as He comes down and plants those priests plant their feet in the middle of that Jordan, it's on dry ground, that river's roaring up above them, and they are secure in Jesus. And we come through and we leave the old world and the wilderness, and we come over in to the promises and the blessing of God. What a wonderful, wonderful day. It was God who wrought in grace on their behalf. We do not deserve it. No one, the nation of Israel, no one deserves God's blessings and God's grace. But you see, when God says, this is what I'm going to do, that's what He does. He promised to bring these people into this land, and He did. And what a glorious way. And I love that last verse. The priest that bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan, got them into the promised land. We're going to find that doesn't mean that there's any less battles, but it does mean that God's blessing and power and strength will be there with us. Now, we read that from Romans chapter 3, verse 23 through 26, and it says, it tells us of the sins that are past. And again, that's talking about all before the cross of Calvary. So you see, it doesn't matter if it's before the cross or after the cross. God's word is true. God's word promised the nation of Israel salvation, promised them a land of blessing, and He delivered, even though they were disobedient. God delivered. God will deliver salvation to you if you'll come by faith to Him today. I hope that you trust in Him and walk with Him this very day. I hope that you don't tarry one more day. What a beautiful picture we have as they have crossed over. It was God doing it. God is the one that held this water back. God is the one that stayed to protect till all were passed through. God will do the same thing with your life. He'll do the same thing with my life. Please trust in Him today. We're going to look at the memorials here in chapter 4. We get there next time we come together. I hope that you know Jesus as your Savior. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?